All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Sure Foundation Baptist Church's morning service. And I gotta say, before I get into my sermon, this is a great chapter in the Bible. You know, the Bible is truly an amazing book, and there's so much to be read and taught. But Matthew 28 and the Gospels are the pinnacle of what the Bible is trying to tell us, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And look at verse 6. It says, "He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay." And that's not what I want to get into. I'm just saying we need to really be thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ not only died, not only was buried, but that he rose again from the dead. That is the pinnacle of the whole message of the cross and of Christianity. But what I want to explain to you guys this morning, the title of this message is, we are not playing church. Let me ask you something this morning. Are you here for the right reasons? You know, my wife and I moved back here to Hawaii from Arizona 2 months ago, right? And there are so many people who are playing church today in America and around the world. We're not playing games here. We are here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not playing games. We need to take the work of God seriously. So like I said, the world today looks at evangelical Christianity and they kind of say to themselves that it is a joke what they are doing, how they are serving the Lord. And make no bones about it, God wants us to serve him in a certain way. There is a lot of commandments in the Bible of how we are to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, how we are to go about a church service and things like that. But you know what? The world today is not patterning their churches after what God has explained. They're patterning their churches after what the world wants. They're trying to appeal to the world to get people into their churches. And let me tell you this, you know, these evangelical type churches and churches like them are known as mega churches. And there's nothing wrong with having a big church, a lot of people going to church. Nothing wrong in the world with that. But if you compromise to get people to come to church, that's where you just come into gross error. You know, because what important is it really that you have a building of over 100,000, million something people who aren't let alone saved, but they're not doing the real work of God? We're not playing church here at Sure Foundation Baptist Church, Hawaii. We are here to do a real work for God. And Sure Foundation, churches in our movement and the new NIFB are known to be the tip of the spear in the work of God around the world today. And of course, though we are primarily currently in America, Hawaii is now the part where we can now scale into the rest of the world. You know, though there are similar churches like ours in the Philippines, some in other places like Australia and in Africa and things like that, but you know what? We're starting to sprout ourselves all around the planet, and Hawaii will be the place that can launch ourselves all around the world. We're not playing games here at Sure Foundation Hawaii. We are here to do a real work for God. Let's never forget that as we continue in our service for the Lord. No matter what state we are in, we can find ourselves contributing ourselves to the church in some way, shape, or form. And let's never compromise our church services, how we serve the Lord, with patterning ourselves after how the world does it or how these evangelical churches do it. I'm going to grab my water really quick. Excuse me. I'm sorry about that. Getting too excited up here. But we shouldn't be excited. This is a big part of our lives as Christians, church. You know, what does the Bible say? It says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, especially as we see the day of Christ approaching." If you look out in the world today, is there no doubt that the second coming could very likely happen in our lifetime? Is there no doubt that as we see technology ramping up and men waxing worse and worse and men becoming lovers of themselves, as we see in Revelation, becoming a reality in our lifetime? Is it not impossible to believe that? You know, it may not be in our lifetime, but we need to be ready for when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And like I said, let's just start off simply by explaining what a church is. Well, the Bible says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is." So the church simply is the assembling of born-again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what a church is. In Hebrews 2, the Apostle Paul, arguably, no one really knows who wrote the book of Hebrews, but we're going to venture to say it was the Apostle Paul. There's a lot of evidence to prove that it was him, but we don't definitively know. Usually Paul starts off his epistles with saying, "I, Paul, am speaking to these people." In the book of Hebrews, it's saying, "God is speaking to Hebrews." And, you know, we know that holy men speaking as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, it's very likely that it was Paul, the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul to the Hebrews, because Paul himself was a Hebrew. But in Hebrews 2, there's a passage in verse 12, it says, "In the midst of the church, I will sing praise to thee." That is a direct quote from Psalms 22:22, where it says, "In the midst of the congregation will I sing praise unto thee." So we equate the congregation with the church, the assembling of ourselves together with the church. We are the church, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are serving the Lord and doing a work for God. That is what a church is. And what a church ultimately can provide, you know, what does Jesus Christ say? The two greatest commandments is that you love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, we were given right here in Matthew the Great Commission. This is what surprises me about why these churches are not doing what is clearly emphasized by Jesus Christ himself, the last commandment given to the church, to his disciples, to go out into all the world, to preach the gospel, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost, and to teach them to observe all things whatsoever Christ has commanded. Is that what we see these churches doing? Is that what we see these fun centers, these giant mega churches doing? And we're going to go into a compare and contrast between what is the right way to serve God, what a real church looks like, and what a fake church looks like, what a bad church is doing. We're not playing games here. And let me tell you this, if we are sincere as Christians and trying to truly please the Lord Jesus Christ, then we got to find ourselves using the Bible to tell us how to serve him. We're not going to take it upon ourselves to say, "Well, I know that God has told us to do this, but I think it'd be better to do that." You are foolish to think that thought. There is nothing wrong with adding to the service of the Lord, but not to subtract what is commanded of you. You know, God told us, for instance, to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and also to sing a new song to the Lord in your heart. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll get to that in just a moment. I'm just trying to clearly emphasize that the church is a congregation of born-again believers and that Jesus Christ gave us the Great Commission. It says here, "Go and teach all nations," but that is paralleled in Matthew 16 where it says, "Go and preach the gospel." You know, our primary objective as the church is to preach the gospel, speak the words of God, using the word of God. What did Paul say? "I became all things to all men, that I by my all means save some." What does it matter if we have this huge building of people that aren't going out and preaching the gospel? How is it that here in Sure Foundation Baptist Hawaii, we have a group of 27-something people here who are doing more work than all our Baptist brethren around us that are filled with 50-plus more people? How is it that they are not doing the works of God? Because they're not using this as their final authority. They're taking it upon themselves to think that, "Well, we are living in 2019 America, so that doesn't apply to us. We can do new and contemporary ways to serve the Lord." That is bad logic, bad thinking. And, you know, the church is truly, as it says in 1 Timothy, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." If you want to know the truth on any one subject, you come to the church. You come to the assembly. We forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more as we see the day of Christ approaching. You know, we need to understand that the church of the living God, the real God, there is a real God that is really judging a real world. And there is a real hell where people will really go. We're not playing church here. It's not symbolic. It's not hypothetical. There is a real world out there that is going to a real hell. And if we have love for our neighbor and we want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the fulfilling of the law is to have love. If we love the Lord our God and love our neighbors as ourselves, what are we going to do? We're going to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to them. Amen. That is what we are commanded to do. That is the Great Commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors in Christ's stead. You know, if Jesus Christ has bestowed upon us the ministry of reconciliation and you put that under a bushel, you're ashamed of the cause of Christ. It's not that you're not saved. You are saved by grace through faith in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, his blood shed on Calvary. You are saved. But let me tell you this. Do we end there? Do we stop our lives as Christians? We understand that we live from faith to faith. That is, it's written, the just shall live by faith. We trust that the Lord provide for our needs in our everyday life if we seek Him and serve Him and do what He says. And let me venture to tell you this, it is not the easy road. It is the harder road to live godly in Christ Jesus. So we get it, David. We're not playing games here. This is really going on. There are people who are really dying and going to hell. We are really trying to help the brothers and sisters of Christ to better their lives. We're trying to save a lost world. That is what's really happening. And we need to understand what our role is as Christians. But let me show you the compare and contrast between a real church and a fake church. We are here, though little in number, a real church. What matter is it that you have 500 people who are doing nothing when you could have 10 people who are doing the works of God? You know, the Bible says in James 2, you know, faith without works is dead. Not for salvation, but to show the world that you are truly a Christian. What good if it doesn't matter if a brother or sister come to you naked, destitute of daily food, and you say to them, be ye warm and be ye filled. What does it profit them? We need to profit each other. We need to profit the world and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So this church is a real church. And I'm going to have us look at a couple of examples. If you want to know what a real church looks like, just open the book of Acts. Read the whole book of Acts. And you're going to see right things that the church does and wrong things that the church does. Because there is no such thing as a perfect church. Even in the book of Acts, we see examples of the disciples doing wrong things. Paul trying to circumcise Timothy, you know, and Peter not eating with the Gentiles, and other things like that. They're not perfect men. And the Bible shows us imperfect men God using to further His gospel. And not only that, they were stuck on the thought of just evangelizing to the people of Israel. They were stuck on just trying to, as Jesus came to His ministry, was to go to the lost sheep of Israel. But He left them with the thought and said, go into the world. Preach the gospel unto the Gentiles, because there are sheep that are not of this fold that must come in. And that's the Gentiles. They want to be saved. The Jews have rejected Jesus Christ by and large. But with that being said, they decided to do their own thing. So turn, if you would, to Acts 16. I'm just trying to get us to understand that this is not a joke. This is not a drill. This is not a game. This is real. This is really happening. And we need to understand the severity of what is going on today, right now. I forget the statistic, but every third of a second, someone dying on the planet. Like, not even a full second, like a third of a second, one person has died. And, you know, I find myself in my day-to-day week, month-to-month, you know, and maybe you can find yourselves when you're driving to the store, when you're at the store and you're doing your grocery shopping or things like that, just look around you and ask yourself, of this group of people, who's going to heaven when they die? And it's probably, as most people, us as Christians know, a very small minority. Jesus Christ said, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and very many go therein at. Whereas narrow is the way to peace and everlasting life, and very few be there that find it. So we need to understand the severity of what's going on. But what does a church look like? Well, the first thing we know that a church really does, and I'm going to show us a couple of examples of all three of these, but every chapter that I take you to, you can find all three of these examples in every chapter, but each one emphasizes one above another. And the first one is the going aspect. Go ye there into all the world and preach the gospel. The second thing is preaching the gospel, the true message of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and putting your faith in Him. And the third thing is, a real church will be persecuted for the work of God. But where I had you turn in Acts 16, look down at your Bible. The commandment is to go. Go ye there into all the world and preach the gospel. A real church goes unto the lost. We're only standing here today because our pastor seen the importance of going and serving the Lord and decided to come to the furthest point. He says, go ye there into all the world. From arguably Jerusalem or Israel is Hawaii. The furthest point away from it. Our pastor, Pastor Thompson, you know, he understood that going meant just going to his neighbors. Go to your neighbor. Do they know the gospel? What about those in your city, your state? Are you giving them the gospel? So many times, these fake churches are so invested in going to Africa, so invested in going to South America, so invested in going to third world countries to not necessarily preach the gospel. They're preaching a false gospel in most cases, but even if they are preaching the right gospel, they're also mixed up in other things. But like I said, I keep getting ahead of myself. And I'll get into that in just a moment. But our pastor had a dream and had a vision and understood the importance of going. And if you listen to his sermons on the subject of coming to Hawaii, he's even mentioned himself. He says, why do I have to pray on this? I was told to go and to preach the gospel. I don't need to sit here and contemplate, should I go and start a church in Hawaii? It needs it. There is a necessity. The where of God's word is not as important as the what of God's word. What did he tell us to do? Go. And we see an example of the Apostle Paul going. Paul the Apostle said, the Bible logs himself, you know, I labored than them all more abundantly. Why, as we go through the book of Acts, do we see the Holy Spirit starting to leave the disciples and start following Paul? Because Paul understood what was given to him, the importance of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. God commanded him of that, or the early church of that. They decided to stick in Jerusalem. But because of that, Paul picked up the mantle and moved forward. And we see that. Look down at your Bible at verse 4. It says, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decree for to keep that we ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in faith and increased in number daily. Let's just pause there really quick. Notice it says, and so were the churches. You know, we don't believe in the Catholic doctrine of the universal church. We don't believe that all believers of time that have been assembled together are the church, or the one church that is mentioned. The Bible uses the plural term for churches. We believe in the local assembling together of the born-again believers in Christ. If I'm not assembled with them in Washington, then they are a church, we are a church. Though we are the same church, a satellite of them. You know, Faithful Word, Verity Baptist, Stronghold Baptist, Pillar Baptist, all these other churches are that just that, they're churches. There is truly a bride of Christ, which is made up of all believers of all time, but that's the bride, that is not the church. The church is the assembling of local believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I just wanted to touch on that, because that's a false doctrine we need to address. We do not believe in the universal church, we believe in the local assembly. But notice it says, and increased in number daily. You know, don't be discouraged if we don't see visitors coming weekly. We don't see new people coming regularly, monthly, so on and so forth. You know, the Bible teaches, you know, one man sows and another man waters, but God gives the increase. Jesus Christ told Peter, upon this rock will I build my church. Our commandment is to do the work and to go. God will decide in his foreknowledge of who and what churches will grow because of the hearts of the believers that get saved. They'll be sown on good ground and they will decide to take it upon themselves to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot take it upon ourselves to grow the church. God builds the church. Now we see the early church growing because the Holy Spirit was upon these men and there is a furtherance of the gospel needed. But I just wanted to touch on those points that we don't need to be discouraged if we're not seeing people coming, visiting, or things like that. We don't believe in the universal church, but we do notice that they still go. Look at verse 6. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they decided to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit suffered them not. Pause there. We just mentioned 5 different locations. Phrygia, Galatia, Asia, Mysia, Bithynia. This is 5 different regions within 2 verses that Paul has himself ventured around to go potentially preach the gospel. And if you're an evangelist and you're trying to become a great evangelist, look at Paul. Look at what Paul is doing. He is going to these places, hence the first part of the Great Commission. Go. He's doing the Great Commission. He's going to these places. But look what it continues to say. And they passed by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And look at verse 10. After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So that's my next point I'm going to go into. But the primary thing I wanted us to understand, and even if you look at verse number one, we see Derbe and Lystra. I mean, he's literally mentioned like 10 different geographies within one chapter that he has ventured to go through. I'm not an exact, I don't know, like the Paul's missionary journey travels in his first and second. I'm not like an expert on knowing the exact regions and how long it took, but we do know that it took him a long time to do this. And he understood the importance. But notice when it says this man had, Paul had a dream, and a man of Macedonia said, come to us. And then Paul understood the importance of going there. And so many people of Macedonia got saved. So that's the first thing we need to understand that we need to do as a church is to go. Go to your neighbor. Go to your city. Go to your state. And if your pastor can and the Holy Spirit decides to bless the church to go outside of your state, that's what we need to do. It's not the where that is important. It is the what. Go. These churches are going. These evangelical, false, phony churches, they're going. But what are they doing when they go? They're preaching a false doctrine. This is what the Bible said in verse 9. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed and saying, come over to us. And in 10 it says, and after he seen the vision immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathered that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. That's the next point I want us to go into. We go. We get it. What do we do when we're there? Preach the gospel. These churches, when they go to these places like South Africa, South America, third world countries, they're most times, in most cases, not preaching the gospel. They're having a movie showing. They're having a rock concert going on. They're having youth services. They're doing humanitarian work. They're building schools. They're building hospitals. Let me venture to say this. There's nothing wrong with building a hospital. There's nothing wrong with building a school. There's nothing wrong with building homes for these places. But is that what we're called to do? We're not called to build these communities with schools and things like that. What we're called to do is to preach them the gospel. What good is it that they have a school, but they don't understand the message of Christ and die and go to hell? What important is it? We understand the severity of, let alone going, but then also preaching to them the gospel. And maybe you can understand in your life, throughout your days, that like, while you're talking with coworkers or family members or people who aren't saved, you know, they're invested in the things of this world. They don't necessarily care or believe that there is a real hell. And they don't necessarily understand the severity of what's going on. So they're very invested in their stock portfolio. They're very invested in their careers. They're very invested in their children's education and things like that, but they're not invested in getting people saved. And these churches follow and pattern themselves after the world in doing that. They think it's better to be seen of men to have their righteousness than to be seen in the sight of God. Do I have to please men or God as a Christian? God has called us to preach the gospel. Oh, but it's by the foolishness of preaching that get people saved. Well, I need to first bring to them the understanding of there is a God. We need to have apologetics. We need to show them young earth creation. No, that's not important. It will be for when the furtherance of their faith, but to get saved is the primary start. Let's preach the gospel to these people. Amen. And these churches, they've missed the ball on that. Let alone if they're even preaching a right gospel. In most cases, they're preaching a repentance of your sin salvation. You know, just yesterday, we went out soul winning in Eva, and we're going around preaching the gospel to the neighborhood. And Brandon and I went around to a couple of doors, and we noticed an Assembly of God track on some of the doors. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, even though we don't, they're not saved, they're damnable heretics, let's see what they are doing. And if you read their track, it's just a big joke. It's a false plan of salvation. And at the very back, it's like, well, pray this prayer. They're literally doing the 1, 2, 3, repeat after me concept of a false gospel. But then they're saying, if you want to further your faith and blah, 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 come to our church because that's what they really care about. You know, I know that we do care that people come to church because it is important that we Go, preach the gospel, get them baptized, and then teach them to observe all things whatsoever Christ has commanded. The only way you're going to know as a babe in Christ what God has commanded is by going to the assembly, hearing the elders explain to you the truths of God's word. You then go to the scriptures yourself and study them yourself to see if these things be true. But that's their agenda. We, when we go out to preach the gospel, and I notice Brother Isaac does this a lot, that we give the tract as a buffer, or we give our church invite as a buffer, kind of just to open the door to the gospel. Yes, we care if people come to church, but we're kind of just trying to open them up, ready to explain to them the gospel. And notice Brother Isaac comes right down the middle, and he's like, "Hi, I'm Isaac. I'm here to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us." Even mentioning church, and I'm just like, hey, right on, because what if you don't have a tract? Or what if you don't have a church invite? You know, we run out from time to time, and it doesn't matter that we bring them to church first. What matters is that we get them saved. That's the primary objective. Preach to them the gospel. If we see an example of that, and turn if you would to Acts 8 in the Bible. And like I said, if you read these chapters, you're going to see people going. You're going to see people preaching the gospel. And you're going to see persecution occurring to the church. And in verse chapter 8, we start off the chapter from a great persecution that occurs. Deacon Stephen has just been martyred. The very first martyred of the Bible, of the New Testament, has occurred in chapter 7. We're going to get to that in a moment. But what was the outcome of Stephen getting martyred and Paul, or at the time Saul, wreaking havoc upon the church? They were spread. Because like I said, they wanted to stick in Jerusalem. God made a miraculous event occur so that they were forced to go into the world. And it says that, if you would, look down at your Bible at verse 4. It says, "Therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." So, like it says, when he was scattered abroad, when the persecution arose, and they went to go do the work, they preached the gospel. They didn't build him a school. They didn't try to do these humanitarian work or rock concerts, so to say. They went to go preach the gospel. That's what we're doing. That's what Sure Foundation is doing. They're coming to start a church here to preach the gospel to the people of Hawaii, to show them that they can be saved by their sins. And that's what the Bible is showing us. We need to go and we need to preach the gospel. But the next point I want to get into is the persecution. You know, the Bible teaches, "Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." If you are doing the works of God and you're living godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to be persecuted. It is inevitable that you might, that it is possible, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you shall be persecuted. That's just a fact. Jesus Christ said, "If they hated you, they hated me before they hated you. If the world loved you, the love of the Father is not in you." What good, these people, these churches are trying to get the love of the world to, they're trying to have their pie and eat it too, so to say. They want the love of Christians, but they also want the love of the world. You know, the Bible says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, that you visit the fatherless in their affliction and the widows in their affliction, and that you keep yourself unspotted from the world." We need to keep ourselves unspotted. You are not of this world, as the Bible teaches. We are ambassadors in Christ's stead. We're pilgrims and sojourners as we go along in our life. We are not invested in the things of this world, and we shouldn't pattern the church after the way these businesses pattern themselves, or after a rock concert or like a church service should not pattern themselves on how the world is doing it. And these churches miss the ball on that because they're not going into the preaching the gospel. Because I've heard it said, and it's so true, that if you're not getting people saved or going to the church, it's either that the gospel has lost its power, or you know the gospel is not being preached. So if you're not going and preaching the gospel, yeah, no one will be saved. That is true. But we know that the gospel has not lost its power. For it is the power unto salvation that everyone believeth. So we understand that these guys aren't doing the actual work of God, but what are they doing? You and I both know that these, you know, what we call the fun center, these mega churches, these evangelical churches, aren't, they're, I keep saying rock concert because I've just experienced in my life throughout going to these type of churches that they're truly that. They're big rock concerts. Amen. And my mother, who is truly saved, goes to a church in Kauai, and she tells me clearly she loves going to this church for the music. And you know, and I know, we've heard so many Christians say, I just love the worship. I just love how they praise the Lord. And it's like an hour, half service of an hour of singing. And like I said, they're singing contemporary Christian music. Is there something wrong with Christian contemporary music? I don't think so. I don't think there's something wrong with singing a new song unto the Lord. But then to replace that with the hymns, to replace that with the psalms, is where you've just gone into gross error. You know, seeing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. If a church service decides, I had a friend growing up, or before, when I wasn't saved, I went to a Calvary Chapel Bible College. And at the time, Facebook was fairly new. And something was posted on his feed, and it was a Calvary Chapel church service, and it was cut in half. One half was a Calvary Chapel church service, and the other half was a metal rock concert, a straight demonic lasers and light shows and smokes and fire and men just whipping their head, like doing just like demonic practices of a look. Even the world looks at heavy metal or death metal as a pretty extreme example of rock and roll. They had these two side by side, and on the bottom it says, there's no difference between the rock concert and the Christian service. And my friend at that time was saying how cool that was. Wow, look how cool that is. Look at how amazing it is to see that we're so acceptable, we're so edgy, and we're so like able to get down to their level, you know? You know, Jesus, they love to use this example that the prostitutes and the tax collectors were hanging out with Jesus, but that's not necessarily the truth. Jesus didn't go to them, they came to Jesus. Jesus Christ was keeping himself unspotted from the world. He was trying to be sanctified and show them the way to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And these prostitutes and these people who were horrible, wicked sinners understood that they wanted to be more like Christ after the fact. We're not trying to pattern church services after them. So why are they trying to do that? Because if they're not preaching the gospel, they need to reach the world somehow. How? Oh, I got it. Let's throw a rock concert. Let's bring in new type of music that can appeal to the younger generation and the younger demographic. What about the older demographic? What about the elder brothers and sisters in Christ? That's why they're ditching the King James Bible, because the these and the thous are so hard to understand and it's too deep. We don't need to have this deep message. They just need a pick-me-up. And you know and I know, in a church like this, and churches like ours, we have scores of passages that we go through. We, on average, go through some 40-something verses every church service. 40 separate verses that get preached from Sunday morning to Sunday evening to midweek services and so on, and just a plethora of the teaching of God's word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for correction, for reproof, that the man of God may be perfectly furnished in the works of God. You know, it's that they need to be reproved. They need to be corrected. But these churches aren't doing that. They're just trying to get people to come in by the wrong means. They're going about it the wrong way. That is what a fake church does. Look at Joel Osteen's churches. Look at T.D. Jakes' churches. Look at any type of mega fun center. Go up to the congregants and ask them, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you're going to hell? 90-some percent of them don't even know the clear plan of salvation. So are they reaching people? They're reaching people to come to church, but that's what they're after. The love of money is the root of all evil, which will some coveted after they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They've compassed sea and land and made one proselyte twofold more the child of hell than themselves. They're going to South Africa. They're going to South America. They're going to the highways and to the hedges to preach them a false gospel to make them become twofold more a child of hell than themselves. These are horrible, wicked people. Some knowingly, some ignorantly. And that's the job of these pastors. That's the job of our pastor, is to keep vigilance in the church. We believe in a pastorally led church. This church is not ran by me. It's not ran by Ryan Gallagher. It's not ran by Richard. It's ran by our pastor, Pastor Thompson. He is the under-shepherd of Christ. Christ is the one who is in charge. Every one of us here follow Christ. But you know what Paul said? Follow me as I follow Christ. We follow our pastor to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I agree with his vision to go preach the gospel and then teach them to observe all things whatsoever Christ has commanded. He got that from the Bible, and we're just doing the same thing. These churches aren't doing that. These churches are deacon board. They're ran like a democracy. They have the congregants. They give them little cards and tell them, what do you want to see us talk about? What would you like us to sing on? How would you like the church service to go? Not in this church, not in a real church, but we allow the congregants to run how the church service go. Me included. I may disagree with how some things would go, but you know what? It doesn't matter what I think. I need to get on board with what our pastor says. And that is how you know, I've said once before in a sermon of mine, if you're not willing to be corrected in the things of God by a man of God, then you're not right with God. You know, I understand that I am a babe in Christ, so to say. Oh, I am up here preaching and expounding the truths of God's word. I can always learn. You can always learn. We can always learn. Our pastor can always learn. But you know what? They have studied to show themselves approved. The workmen that needed not that anyone show them. But these other churches are trying to, like I said, have their pie and eat it too. They're trying to appeal to the congregants. Well, you want more worldly music? Hey, you guys, let's bring in more worldly music. Some churches, let alone do they sing Christian contemporary music, they're also literally bringing in rock and roll music and just switching words like to Jesus or to God. Kanye West, that stupid, false, wicked prophet. Make no bones about it. Kanye West is a false, wicked prophet. Amen. No one in here had better be convinced that that is a true man of God. He's going out and starting his stupid Sunday service ministry that he's doing where he brings elitists. I wasn't even going to speak on this matter, but you know what? I think the Holy Spirit is starting to steer me and to tell you that this is a fake church. This isn't real. They're convincing the world, and you and I know, like I said, I didn't even want to speak on this subject. Truly was like, I'm going to avoid this like the big. I don't want to speak on this. It is such a joke. But yet people are convinced that he is a Christian. If you go on YouTube and like, I don't know, I guess because Pastor Henderson preached on the subject, all of a sudden on my feed, it's all about Christians' opinions on Kanye West. Is he a Christian? Is he sincere? It's like, are you that dense? Amen. Are you that naive to understand that some son of the devil, that a man who confessed himself to be God, who is openly explaining that he's in it for the money, is sincerely doing the work of God? This is a joke. That is not a real church. A real church does what Jesus Christ has said. Amen. And we ought to get zealous on this subject because I don't want people deceived by this. I don't want even a babe in Christ, a Christian who is truly saved, to be stirred up in their heart to be like, well, maybe he is sincere. Maybe. No, that is that. You need to just realize that this guy is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And like I said, I didn't want to go into that, but I ended up there. So one last point that I want to get into on the understanding of what a real church looks like and what a false church looks like. I know I went through mainly a real church goes and preaches the gospel. A false church will go but preach a false gospel or do humanitarian work. A real church, look, Jack Hyles' church, you know, the saint that he was and the saints that were going to his church were filled with thousands of people. You know, First Baptist Church of Indiana was a huge church. Was it the size that was the problem? No, he was a true man of God, truly serving his community. It's not the size that's the problem. It's if they compromise on message. These churches are compromising and trying to pattern themselves after the world. Let's not do that. If a Baptist church, an IFB Baptist church, decides to bring in contemporary music, fine. Don't forsake singing the hymns. And I really appreciate our church and the commas to be able to create the psalms into music. That's something that the old IFB and other generations of Christians have lost. They stopped singing the hymn or the psalms. You know, it's a true blessing to take the psalms that were given and instructed to us to sing and to create them in a melody and a music. I love singing the psalms. I mean, what was Isaiah 6? What's that one that you and your parents have made? As honey as... That is one of my favorite psalms, personally. And it's not a psalm, but it is one of God.
Psalm 19.
And I love to hear the psalms sing. You know, in our Sure Foundation, churches in our movement are starting to get that. They're like, we need to get back to singing the psalms because there's so much doctrine in them. You know, the hymns do quote some passages. The hymns take some verses sometimes and make songs around them. And that's great. Holy men created these songs. And if a Christian today decides to make a completely new song, that's fine. That's cool. Right on. Don't forsake the singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual song. What if a new IFB church or an old IFB church or a Christian genuine bona fide house of God church service does an altar call? Is there something wrong with doing an altar call? I don't think so. What's wrong with, at the end of every service, preaching the gospel to a visitor that may be there, or some of the young people that don't understand the plan of salvation? They just don't know. They're too young. They don't understand it yet. I'm not opposed to a church doing altar calls unless they replace it for going out and preaching the gospel. That's where they come into gross error. The man of God needs to go and preach the gospel. One of the qualifications of a deacon or a pastor is to do the work of an evangelist. If they're stopping that and then doing altar calls, that's where they're wrong. But if they add that to the arsenal, hey, you just did more, right? That's good. But nevertheless, even though we're not big on altar calls, I know we don't do altar calls. If a church did that, as long as they're still going out and soul winning, then I have no bones, I have no beef with them in that matter. But we go, preach the gospel, and we will be persecuted. The early church is going to be persecuted. I've heard it said before, and you know, Brother Isaac, I know I kept mentioning you, but it's because when we talk, you bring this up, and they're good points. You know, Brother Isaac, was kind of newer to the movement, right? Not that long ago, and he'd been saved a lot of his life, raised in the IFB church, and when found out about, you know, the new IFB movement, he said to himself, he's watching these videos and hearing about the persecution of, like, you know, Pastor Anderson and the Border Patrol thing and the sodomites, you know, trying to protest against Verity Baptist, Pastor Fritz being called out by the sodomites and things like that. You know, he says, I'm seeing what it looks like in the early book, or in the early church in the book of Acts. These are the people who are getting persecuted. You know, if you're not being persecuted, guess what? You're not doing the works of God. Do you think you're above the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ says, you're not above me. He says, you should be sufficient to be equal as me. If you think, as a Christian, you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus and not be persecuted, you're ultimately saying you're better than Christ. That you're able to crack the code and figure out how to have your pie and eat it too. To serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to truly get people saved, and do real work for God, call out sins and do these things, and have the world like you, have the world bless you, have the world accept you. Look down at your Bible, at Acts 7, verse 51. And this is another point that I'm going all over the place, but here's another point. Real church preaches hard against sin. We're not preaching 5-minute sermonettes, 10-minute sermonettes, but 2 verses. We are preaching the whole counsel of God and preaching hard against sin. As it says in 51, Stephen, the deacon, calling out the Pharisees, he says, he stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. He do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets of your fathers which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain which have showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it? When they heard these sayings, the Pharisees, they were cut to their heart, and they gnashed on them with their teeth. And I'm not going to go into the rest of the story, but we know what happens. They stone him, they kill him. Do you think that, like I said, we're not playing games here? Are you ready to die for the cause of Christ? I know I am. I know that as Stephen, the deacon, understood that he's not going to compromise on the message on sin, neither should we. We don't need to be, as these churches are, all-inclusive. The church is not for everyone. The church is for the saints, the believers in Christ. Will unsaved people make their way in here? Yes. And we want them to know that they're welcome here. Do unsaved people, visitors, make their way here? Yes. There are children who are raised in this church that aren't saved that will eventually get saved. But we're not all inclusive. We don't allow pedophiles here. We don't allow, you know, like serial murderers. We don't allow sodomites into these churches. Why? Because they are the children of the devil. We are not all inclusive. These churches are all inclusive. And because of that, they're not getting persecuted. They are willing to sacrifice the message of the gospel to just let anyone's allowed into church. Not here. Not anyone is allowed here. And you better understand that if a sodomite, a son of the devil, ever tries to step their foot in here, they're getting the boot faster than you can ever know. Amen. Physically, hands on, thrown out. And that is our stance. We are not all inclusive, and neither should these churches. Because of that, you give them an inch, they will steal the mile. You know, the Bible teaches that they are implacable, unmerciful. Why? The Bible teaches that, shouldest thou help the ungodly? Therefore, his wrath is upon you. I don't want God's wrath on this church. Do you want God's wrath on you? Do you want God's wrath on us? What about the children? We're going to allow a known pedophile to come and sit down in the congregation with children around? That is a joke. That is the stupidest logic to follow. But nevertheless, that's what these... We will be persecuted because we're not all inclusive. And too much today, the world looks at us and say, you're a hate preacher. You better know I hate the sons of the devil. You better know that if you are a wolf in sheep's clothing, that you better be afraid to come to a church like this. You have to fear the man of God, the people of God, calling you out for who and what you are. You know, and this is a subject that needs its own sermon in and of itself. But when in the realm of we're not playing church, Pastor Thompson's job is to be vigilant and to keep out for the sheep. He is the under shepherd. And we're not out on a witch hunt. We're not trying to look. We're not assuming everyone is guilty until proven innocent. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty. If you come to church and you professingly aren't a believer in Christ, you're not allowed here. We hope you eventually get saved. And we want you to understand that the Lord's house is a house of prayer. That you can come, hear God's words preached, and at least you're getting the truth somewhere. You may not be getting it at home and things like that, but eventually we're hoping you get saved. But what about a Christian, a professed believer in Christ, who is a fornicator, who is a drunk, who is an idolater, who is an extortioner? With such an one, know not to eat. Expel that person out of the church. And that's another sermon in and of itself, church discipline. But we practice church discipline here in this church. Other churches aren't doing this. I know I went through a lot of points, but it goes like this. We need to go preach the gospel to the lost, and we will be persecuted in the midst. That is a real church. Fake churches aren't going, and if they are going, they're not preaching the right plan of salvation. They're doing humanitarian work, having rock concerts, and watering down their messages, and they will not be persecuted because they're not going to touch on the depths of God's word. They're not going to touch Leviticus with a 10-foot pole. They're not even going to mention it out of their name. They're got nothing like that. So, we get it, David. What a real church looks like, what a fake church looks like. What is the conclusion of the matter? This is the conclusion of the matter. Take church seriously. If we understand that this is not a game, we need to take it seriously. There is a real world of real people who are really going to a real hell. Let that sink into your hearts and understand. We're not playing games here. When you go out soul winning, are you just following emotion and trying to appeal to the church and be like, oh, I'm contributing, you know? But like, do you care about that person at the door? Do you, as it says in Jude, and of some have compassion, making a difference, pulling the man out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh? Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself? If you have love, you will fulfill, you will walk in the Spirit, and you will go and preach the gospel to these people. So take church seriously. When you're singing in the mornings, are you just kind of like, Jesus loves a little children. You know, sing, make a melody in your own. Jesus loves a little children. I don't have a great voice, I'm just saying, you know, we can get better as Christians in our music, in our soul winning, in our severity of the work of God. Let's take this seriously. This is not a joke, this is not a drill, this is not a game. This is really happening, and we are part of the real work. As a matter of fact, we are the tip of the spear in the souls of men. We are standing in the hedge between life and death. We are the ambassadors of Christ. Take that seriously. And the last part I want us to understand is join into the work. Join in the work. Jesus Christ says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know, praise the Lord that we here have like a 90% participation in our evangelizing and preaching of the gospel. And we have already, with 27 regular congregates, four soul winning times. You know, like, we are doing the work. So I'm just saying, like, join in the work. You know, if people hear this message outside of our church or in other places, join in, contribute to your church. Even if you're a silent partner, people down themselves for being a silent partner. Hey, you're furthering the efforts to do more. You have now another talker, and you can go into another place. More people can be saved. Just go. That's the commandment. Go. In time, with studying your Bible and praying, the love of the Lord will come into your heart, and you will want to open your mouth to make known the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But just go. That's the first thing. Just go. And in time, you'll learn to serve the Lord in other ways, shape, or fashion. Contribute in the music program. Contribute in the cleaning of the church. Contribute in the taking of the offerings and tithes. Contribute in whatever way, shape, and form you can. Contribute to your church. Help out where you can. But the last thing is this. Turn, if you would, to Revelation 2. I know I said that a second ago, but this is really the last thing. It says in Revelation 2. In verse 1, this is the church of Ephesus. It writes, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hath labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." This is the flip side to this coin. We need to understand, if we're not taking this seriously, if we're not doing the first works, as Jesus Christ told Ephesus, God will remove the candlestick out of even this church. If we're not serious, if this is not a game, then we're going to be blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will build his church. Jesus Christ will not take the candlestick from us. That just is not saying that we're going to lose our salvation. That's just saying that he'll take it and give it to someone who's willing to do the works thereof. And we need to understand that if we lose the first love in going to the lost and preaching the gospel, then Christ is going to abort mission. He's going to say, these guys they don't care. They're just playing games. I want people who are serious in serving God. And they're the ones who are going to do the works of God. He's not going to use people who don't take him seriously. Let's take the work of God seriously. Let's not play church. Let's understand the severity of what's really going on. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for this church. Thank you so much for giving our pastor a vision to be able to come to Hawaii to start, you know, a movement to get people saved. Help us to never leave the first works and to preach the gospel. Help us to never, you know, lose that and to understand the severity of what we're really doing here, to actually pull people out of the fire and get people to change their lives to serve you. And help us throughout our weeks to continue to seek you above everything and to be pleasing in your sight. Please be there for both Ben Kama's family and Ryan Gallagher's family, that they physically feel better. And help us just to continue in your love. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.